Welcome to the Sportscast, November 30th, 2018, the last day of December. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you have a notification option on those channels, please turn it on so you're able to know when our show is live. And if you're listening to on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Last night was Thursday Night Football. We had the Cowboys and Saints. Now, everybody was saying, okay, this game could go either way, but Dallas is on a roll. Saints are considered the best team in the NFL. I know it's debatable, but the Cowboys pulled it off. Very low-scoring game. I've never seen a low-scoring game like this, 13-10. And to just flesh it out with us, Jeff Farr, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks a lot, Santiago.
So,
hey, yeah.
What happened last night, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, when I watched a vast majority of the game. I did miss the very early parts, but when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, I know they got off to a slow start, you know, lost some games that they probably shouldn't have. But when you just look at their roster and the way they're built, they're really built to play complementary football. And what I mean by that is, when their offensive line is healthy, which I know right now it's not, but when their offensive line is healthy, they can run the ball on pretty much anybody. Zeke Elliott is a big-time player, and the defense has really – I mean, if you go back and look at the last four or five drafts for the Dallas Cowboys, they have just hit on so many picks on defense. I mean, their entire defense has quality players all over it, and – you know, the pass rush gets the most notoriety, rightfully so, because the pass rush is outstanding. DeMarcus Lawrence is a big-time player. Randy Gregory is a good player. Obviously, last night, I don't know what he was doing. You know, he just, you know, had a lot of boneheaded plays. But, you know, but overall, the Dallas front seven is really good. Their secondary actually has, you know, I think a lot of talent. I like their corner position a lot. And, you know, when you talk about playing complementary football, the Cowboys run the ball, so their defense isn't on the field a ton. And then when their defense is out there, they can be aggressive. And Byron Jones is really developing into a nice player. So I love the way the Cowboys are built. The one thing I will say, though, is they have to finish drives better. And Dak Prescott just has to protect the ball better. You know, I saw the statistic last night. He has 11 fumbles. And I understand their offensive line has been beat up, so he's getting hit more than he normally does. But you still have to protect the football. And especially if your game plan is to run the ball and play defense and then hit a couple big plays, the other part of that equation is protecting the football, because that strategy doesn't work if you turn the ball over. So that would be my one concern. But overall, man, that was – I mean, I thought Dallas, especially mainly defensively, Dallas played an exceptional game last night.
Now, according to your Facebook post this morning, you compared their defense to Seattle's?
I compare – I'm not saying they're that level of talent, but I think the Cowboys built their team the way that the Seahawks did. So the Cowboys used a lot of draft capital on defense, and then on offense they're going to run the ball. So when you look back to when Seattle was really good, you know, they ran the ball with Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson made big plays in big moments, and the defense carried them. You know, now I know they won the Super Bowl 43-8, but generally speaking, that's not – they didn't just blow teams out, you know. So when I look at how the Cowboys are built as a team – I think they used a little bit of that Seahawks blueprint. Now, am I saying the Cowboys secondary is as talented as the Legion of Boom? No. I mean, I'm not going to go there. But there are a lot of young guys that are going to continue to get better, and they haven't peaked yet. And I would say the Cowboys pass rush, I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, man, I mean, he's a player. The Saints offensive line has an argument for the best in football. And, you know, with offensive lines, it's hard because Dallas, when they're healthy, is one of the best. Pittsburgh, has a, you know, a phenomenal line. So there's some lines out there. So it's hard to say the best, but the Saints are right there in the conversation. And if you watch that game last night, they struggled up front. I mean, the Cowboys really controlled the line of scrimmage on defense. So I think you have to give them credit there. But yeah, when I watch the Cowboys, I see a team that, you know, wins a lot like Seattle did and uses the same type of game plan. The problem I see with that long term when we get into the playoffs is that Dak is not Russell Wilson. You know, and I'm not saying Dak's not good or anything like that, but Russell Wilson, you know, he's one of those guys that you can have him caged in and somehow, some way he gets loose and makes the 40-yard throw down the field right on the money. I think Dak needs to have a controlled environment to be successful. And that's why I think long term, you know, the Cowboys have to get Tyron Smith healthy. They have to. Because you could see last night, when he's in there, the left side of the line, you can pretty much take that pass rusher out of the game plan. When he's not in there, Prescott's getting sacked and hit too often.
Now, the O-line, obviously, what Dallas is very known for, and plus Zeke and maybe with Amari Cooper, do you compare this team sort of to what they were back in the, where they were back in the 90s?
You know, if the offensive line gets right, you could make that comparison. And especially now that they do have Amari Cooper, which is comparable to your Michael Irvin. I mean, they're completely different players, but I mean having a number one wide receiver. And Amari Cooper, you know, being a Chiefs fan, I watched Cooper play a lot when he was in Oakland. And he was a guy that when he had it right, he was open a lot. But his problem was always consistency and drops. And since he's been in Dallas, man, he's looked good. And he's one of those guys that when he's right and he's in it mentally, you're going to have a tough time consistently, you know, matching up with him. So I really, if you want to talk about blueprint and the way the team's built, I would say that the Cowboys defense this year is going to have to carry them a little bit more than those early 90s teams did, because those Cowboys teams, the defenses, they were quality defenses, but Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, and I would say where the difference is with this year's team is that when you look at the receivers beyond Amari Cooper, I'm not sure they have the Alvin Harper, and the tight end position doesn't have anybody that's even in the same universe as Jay Novacek. Because Jay Novacek, on a lot of teams, could have been a number one passing option, but because Michael Irvin and, you know, and Emmitt Smith was so good running the ball, Novacek didn't get talked about a lot. But he was a player, you know.
Now, would you think Amari Cooper might be a better receiver than Dez Bryant? I know that Dak and Dez Bryant didn't really get along or really didn't connect, oddly enough. I don't know why. But he's connecting well, like, with Amari. You think Amari might be better off than Dez?
At this stage in Dez's career, absolutely. You know, no, I was always a fan of Dez Bryant. I thought Dez Bryant was a better receiver than he got credit for. But when you start to have some, if I'm not mistaken, Dez Bryant had some foot and ankle injuries, and that starts to rob you of your explosiveness. And Dez Bryant never made a living just running past people, but you still have to have some level of explosiveness. And when he lost that, it just felt as though every catch was a contested catch. And in the NFL, obviously it's a good quality to be able to make contested catches. You know, we see Nuke Hopkins for the Texans do it all the time. But if every catch you make is a jump ball or a contested catch, the odds just don't play in your favor, because the guy covering you is a quality player a lot of times too. So I think yes. I mean, Amari Cooper's just better than Dez Bryant right now today. Now, if you're saying if we compare the prime of Dez Bryant to the prime of Amari Cooper, I don't know that I would take Cooper in that comparison, but right now, today, yeah. I mean, Dez, even if he comes back next year after that, his injury with the Saints, you have to think he's going to be some kind of a role player more than a prominent player.
Let's move towards the Chiefs. Chiefs just coming out of a bye week. Before that, they lost against the Rams, and they're looking forward to the Raiders. How do you see this game between the Chiefs and the Raiders?
I'm always leery of these games with a really high line. You know, the last I saw, the Chiefs were like a 14 or 14 and a half point favorite playing on the road. I'm always cautious of that. Historically, you know, Andy Reid has been great coming off the bye week. And I think the Chiefs will be motivated because that loss to the Rams, I think, stunned them. You know, a lot of times when a team loses, you can tell they're disappointed, obviously. But when I heard the Chiefs players talk after that game, I just got the idea that they were completely shocked. You know, they went into that game thinking that there was a really, really good opportunity for them to win that game, and they didn't get it done. So I think that creates a certain level of focus coming out of the bye week. So I think they'll win the game. I just don't know that it's going to be the complete blow them off the field type thing that people are expecting. The Raiders, I mean, there's no two ways about it. The Raiders just aren't very good. They're bad on defense, and they're just slightly less bad on offense. So in theory, the Chiefs should blow them off the field, but you just can't bank on that. You know, I mean, I keep going back to that game earlier in the year where the Bills beat the Vikings. You know, that was supposed to be one of these lay-down games, and the Vikings lost the game. With that said, you know, Andy Reid's great coming off the bye. Now, last year, a lot of people don't realize this. Last year, the Chiefs coming off the bye completely laid an egg and played maybe their worst game of the season. So, you know, that was the game at the Giants, you know, where Eli Manning and Alex Smith took turns throwing the ball into the dirt. So I'm not saying that's going to happen.
That should be completely different from last year.
Yeah. But I just think,
well,
I think the Chiefs will win the game, but I think let's rev back the engine a little bit on the whole, you know, stomping the Raiders, because it's a division game and those rarely go that way.
Looking at the playoff picture, currently the Chiefs have home field advantage. The Patriots are right behind you guys. Obviously, looking at the schedule, what is the likelihood of the Chiefs to have home field advantage?
Well, the Steelers losing to the Broncos was gigantic, because when I look at the Chiefs' remaining schedule, the biggest potential for a loss, I think, is at Seattle. So let's say they lose that game and they win the rest of their games, they go 13-3. If that happens, they only need the Patriots to lose one more game. And the Patriots play home for the Vikings. They play at Pittsburgh, which I know the Patriots have had the Steelers' number, but I think the Steelers will win that game at home. I don't think the Patriots – I just don't think they're as good this year as they were last year. And I think the Steelers will win that. So really, the Broncos beating the Steelers was so, so huge in terms of the Chiefs having home field, because now, even if they lost two more games, they would still have the tiebreaker over the Steelers because they beat them head-to-head. So really, now crazier things have happened. Look at the Eagles last year where Carson Wentz gets hurt with only a couple weeks left. So crazy things can happen. But yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are in a great position to have home field. And I'll say this, the Chiefs, Steelers, and Patriots, I think, are clearly the top three teams in the AFC. And although the playoffs have not been kind to the Chiefs with home field advantage in the past, I think all three of those teams are very home field reliant. You know, when you look at how the Steelers play away from home, they're not the same team. The Patriots went on the road and lost to the Titans. So home field matters a lot in the AFC, and the Chiefs getting it would definitely – it would be a big deal. And the other thing with the Chiefs is if you compare how they've played at home on defense and how they played on the road on defense, it's almost as though it's not the same team. So that's a big part of it, too.
Talking about the Broncos, Broncos had two significant wins these past couple weeks. They defeated the Steelers in a very nail-biter game. Lindsey had a great game. Where do you see the Broncos? Are they contenders? Are they a threat?
I think the Broncos are going to just miss the playoffs. And the reason I say that is this. So, first of all, two quality wins. They were kind of dead in the water versus the Chargers, and then Phillip Rivers threw an interception on a screen pass. Then, again, Rivers with, you know, what, less than 2 minutes left when he should have just fell on the ball, threw an incomplete pass to stop the clock. So, not to take anything away from the Broncos, two quality wins. And the Broncos at home are a lot tougher than the record would indicate. When you look, they lost by a couple points to the Chiefs. They lost by a couple points to the Rams. They play well at home. They're tough. And their defense is still really, really good. But where I have trouble picking them to end up in the playoffs is that they're going to have to win out. And it's not that their schedule's that tough. You know, their schedule really isn't that difficult if you look at who they have left. However, you don't have the record the Broncos do by being a really good team. And I agree that they're better than their record, but I think that we're taking two games and erasing everything else they've done this year. So it's just really hard for me to say, okay, the Broncos won these two games, and now they're going to win their next five in a row, which means they would end the season on a 7-game winning streak. I don't see that.
Very good point. I mean,
like what are the odds? What are the odds that they 7 games in a row? And that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, here's the remaining schedule for the Broncos. They got the Bengals, the Niners, the Browns, Raiders, and Chargers. Almost every game is, except the Chargers game, is winnable. What do you think?
Well, and even the Chargers game is winnable because it's in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? It very well could come down to that last game between the Chargers and Broncos because the Chargers have to go to Pittsburgh, which is not going to be easy. So, you know, that game, that Week 17 game in Denver could be insanely important. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos lose to the Bengals. And that's not because I think the Bengals are better than them. It's just because we see it all the time with, you know, you see it where a team gets really, really up for a couple weeks and they pull these upsets and then they come back to earth and they are who they are. So it's not that I think the Bengals are actually better than the Broncos. It's just the Broncos have played these back-to-back high-emotion games and pulled these upsets. I just wouldn't be surprised to see them come back to earth and lose to the Bengals.
The Chargers, Melvin Gordon came out of the game a little early this past weekend. I'm not sure if he's out for this weekend. How significant if the Chargers don't have Melvin Gordon?
Well, that is gigantic. You know, Melvin Gordon has been awesome. No two ways about it. I think the one thing I will say is, so Austin Eckler is a nice player. I don't know that you'd want him as a starter for a full year, but I think he could fill in for a few games. The other thing I would say is when you play the Steelers, and especially when you look at the Chargers, the thing that the Chargers can do is they can spread you out and really attack you. So, obviously, you don't want to be missing Melvin Gordon, and I think he would have had a big game against the Steelers. But I think regardless of whether he played or not, the Chargers can still keep the same game plan that they would have had. And that is, they're going to want to get the Steelers in their nickel and dime defense, and they're going to want to throw it to Keenan Allen. I mean, that's the guy that I look at this week. So I think the Steelers are going to win that game. They're really, really tough in Pittsburgh. But I think Keenan Allen is just going to – I mean, the Steelers just don't have – you know, Joe Hayden is a good – you know, he's good, but he's not going to go up against the number one receiver and really hold them down. You know, if that was part of the game for the Steelers against Denver that got glossed over, is that Emmanuel Sanders just took Joe Hayden's lunch money all day. You know, he did whatever he wanted to. If Keenum hadn't missed a couple throws, you know, he might have had 150 yards. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. But Ben Roethlisberger, first of all, not that I would say he had a bad game last week, but obviously the ending didn't go how he'd want it to. And I would say that he's going to bounce back. Roethlisberger's going to have – I think he's just going to have a gigantic game. And the Steelers will win. The Gordon injury is a big deal. But I don't think it'll be the Chargers' offense that's the problem.
It's their defense. Chicago Bears are 8-3. Trubisky will probably be out this weekend. How do you see the Bears without him and having Chase Daniel starting?
So when I look at the Bears, whether Trubisky starts or whether Chase Daniel starts, it doesn't really change how they operate. You know, it doesn't really change a whole lot. Now, Trubisky's clearly more talented than Chase Daniel, and if you were telling me Trubisky was out for the year, then that would be a problem. You know, that could potentially be a big problem. But just for a two-game stretch here, they'll lean on their running game. They'll lean on their defense, and I think they'll be okay. You know, they want to make sure that Trubisky's right when the games really matter. You know, when they get into the playoffs, they don't want to look back and say, well, you know, Mitch would have been completely healthy, but we rushed him back, and now we're not able to play to our, you know, our full capacity or put together our best effort because our quarterback's still not right.
Yeah. The Bears are having a great season. I mean, they're winning.
They're winning, and they're, you know, I think the reason they're getting glossed over a little bit is just that, you know, when you look at the Rams and the Saints, they can score 50, right? I mean, they can
easily.
They have weapons all over the place. The Bears, not that they don't have weapons, they do. You know, they clearly have, you know, Cohen is a nice player, Howard's a nice player, Robinson, Burton. They're all nice players, you know, but I don't think Mitch Trubisky is as good as Jared Goff or Drew Brees. You know, that's what it really comes down to for me. Now, the other side of that argument is the Bears' defense is significantly better than the Saints or Rams. I mean, significantly. They have a defensive player in the year candidate in Khalil Mack, who's a game changer, a game wrecker. So I like the Bears. It's just that, you know, when you look at it, you know, again, it always comes down to you look at the big picture and you say, are the Bears going to be able to go into New Orleans potentially? Can they go into New Orleans and score enough points to win? That's the thing. Not that their defense wouldn't fight and play hard, but it's you always see that great defenses tend to play a little bit better at home. You know, whether it's crowd noise, whether it's familiarity, whatever it is, defenses tend to play a little bit better at home. So I think if the Bears were in a position where they could get that one or two seed and play home games, they'd be scary. But I don't think that's going to happen, and I think if they have to travel to play New Orleans, that's where their season's
winnable.
Probably going.
I don't think anyone could win in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we saw last night that the Saints are beatable, but again, that was a road game. That was in Dallas. So I don't think anybody's going to win in New Orleans. But the way things are shaping up right now, the Rams could end up with the number one seed and home field advantage, which if that happens, you know, then it really opens things up because I don't know that teams are terrified of playing in L.A. So
no. That's a very neutral ground.
In the playoffs.
Los Angeles is very neutral.
It really is. Yeah, it's, you know, unfortunately for the Rams, L.A. is not a football market that's known for having fans really show out.
Unless the stadium helps it out, like their new stadium.
Right. Yeah, and it's not gonna be that way. But
it looks pretty nice from the Giants, but
yeah, I mean they try and try and try to make Los Angeles work as a football market, and it never does. And
yeah, Los Angeles is more of like a USC town, I heard.
And basketball.
Yeah,
you know, the Lakers can go 1-81, and people will still go to Lakers games. Yeah.
Oh man. Anyways, are you ready for game predictions?
Absolutely.
Let's go. Arizona at Green Bay.
This is a get right game for Green Bay. You know, Green Bay is going to win by 10. You know, not.
You would think.
I'll tell you what, the Cardinals in the second half of that Chargers game looked like they didn't want to be there anymore. And that's, you know, now you're going to go from Arizona into Green Bay where it's going to be cold and ugly. Yeah, good luck. I mean, they're in trouble.
For Arizona, that plays in the dome in Arizona.
Yeah. It's going to be harsh for them.
The Bills at the Miami Dolphins.
That's going to be one the Dolphins win. So when the Dolphins go to Buffalo, obviously I think the Bills generally win, but it's the same thing. It'd be really difficult for the Bills to go to Miami. And I think Miami's a little bit of a better team, too. You know, the Bills have played better
on paper. Yeah.
And Josh Allen has started to come around and play pretty well, but I think it's asking a lot to go to Miami and win. So I think the Dolphins will win that game.
Dolphins win in Miami. Broncos at the Bengals with no Andy Dalton.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes you have to be bold, right? You can't just give the easy answer. I think the Bengals pull the upset, and the only reason I think that...
Because you're a Chiefs fan.
I just think at this point in the season, you are who you are. And, you know, like I said, the Broncos had these two really, really good games, and I just don't think they're going to play a third good game in a row. And not that, you know, the Bengals aren't playing well, they're beat up, but, you know, it's just more of a gut feeling that I think the Broncos are going to play a really poor game. That's just how I feel about it.
What do you think about their player, Lindsey?
Oh, he's awesome. I can't believe he went undrafted. I mean, when you look at what the Broncos have for the future, if they can find a quarterback, they have a lot of talent with Cortland Sutton and Lindsey and Freeman. You know, their offense could turn around relatively quickly. But they just, you know, Case Keenum is who he is. And
you don't think still, Keenum,
you know, he's a guy that
will be the guy.
Yeah, Case Keenum can't be the guy. I mean, he can be the guy to
short term
between 6-10 and 10-6, but you're not going to go to the Super Bowl. He's the guy you want to date, but you don't want to marry.
Yeah, Ravens at the Falcons.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be an upset too, based on the line. I think the Falcons are going to win, and the main reason I say that is just that from what I've seen of these Ravens games, not to take anything away from Lamar Jackson, I think he's going to be a good player, but he's so limited in the passing game so far that even though the Falcons' defense isn't good and it's beat up, they do play a little bit better at home. And I think the Ravens are just too one-dimensional. You know, they can't consistently throw the ball right now. And to be fair, they weren't really throwing the ball all that well with Flacco either. So I'm not just blaming it on Jackson. I think the team as a whole on offense is just a bit of a mess and their line is beat up. But I think the Falcons just play a little bit better at home, and I think they'll just score too much for the Ravens to keep up. I could see it being one of those 31-24 type games.
You think Lamar Jackson is the man in Baltimore?
I think it's too early to say one way or another, but I think he's shown enough that going into next year he should be the guy, because the Ravens need a reset. You know, they have too many older players on defense that have probably played their best football already. And then I think, too, you have to move on from Flacco. Maybe he was already hurt, but the game that stood out to me was the Steelers game. You know, the Ravens and Steelers have such a great rivalry, and I felt as though Flacco just played so poorly in that game that he, like, I don't want to say he ruined the chance of a good rivalry game, but he basically did. You know, he had opportunities to keep that game relatively close, and he had guys open, and he was just brutal. So I think you have to move on from Flacco next year, and he's a guy that could end up in Denver. You know, look at some of the that's a conversation for another day, but I could see Flacco ending up in Denver.
Flacco actually is a good playoff quarterback.
He has been, but you have to get there. Yeah. So that's, you know,
set him out to the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, and last year, you know, if you remember, they got down to the last week, and if they win, they're in, and they completely tripped over their own feet and lost to the Bengals, and I believe that game was in Baltimore. So, you know, it's all fine and well to say you're a good playoff quarterback, but you better not dig your grave in the regular season. You never get to see the postseason.
Exactly. The Vikings travel to New England. Who you got?
You know, my heart wants the Vikings to win this. I mean, you know that. But, you know, I think the Pats will win. And I just
don't think
these games where you go into New England, you know, they're tough. And the New England defense is a little bit better this year than last year. I still wouldn't say that it's good, but it's better. And the Vikings defense doesn't travel as well either. You know, the Vikings at home have a phenomenal defense, but when they travel, it just seems as though it doesn't always go with them. So I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be a 27-24, you know, type game. And I think it may come down to the wire, but I think the Patriots will win.
Patriots win in New England. Chargers at the Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers are going to win. I mean, you know, the Steelers didn't play a good game at Denver. Roethlisberger played a good game but didn't finish the game well. You know, they have all this drama this week with Ben calling out Antonio Brown for running a poor route and calling out James Washington for diving on a catch that if he would have just run under it would have been a touchdown. And, you know, the Steelers locker room is, you know, like a third grade classroom sometimes, but the thing about them is they win this is when they win. You know, it looks bad on the outside, but when they have all their drama is when they always find ways to win, you know? So I just don't think that Ben Roethlisberger, and again, he played a good game last week. I just think Ben is going to have one of his games where he just takes over and throws four or five touchdowns. And I think the Chargers will score, and I think they will keep up. But I just think that Phillip Rivers is more likely to have that turnover on the road than Roethlisberger is playing at home.
Yeah, that, so, I mean,
you know, if it might be a 38-35.
Yeah, like if Melvin Gordon was playing, I think it would have been like a much tighter game. But if he's not, then it will just be Pittsburgh.
If Melvin Gordon was playing the Chargers would try to slow the game down a little bit and keep the Steelers' offense on the sideline. But I don't think they can do that now. So they're just going to have to run with them and try to keep up. And that's a tough thing to do against the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
And for Monday night, the Skins at the Eagles.
You know, I think the Redskins are just free-falling at this point. And truth be told, I thought the Eagles were free-falling. In the first half of that Giants game, they were zombies. But then they came back and won. So I think the Eagles just have a little bit more fight left in them. And I hate to say this, but if Dallas keeps playing like they are, this game doesn't matter. Neither one of these teams is going to be in the playoffs. But I think the Eagles will win. It's a home game for the Eagles. Carson Wentz will just keep playing a little bit better and a little bit better. And the Eagles are so beat up in their secondary, but because of the injuries up front, you know, the Redskins can't really attack you down the field anyway. So I think it'll be a game the Eagles win.
Can the Cowboys win seven in a row, like in a row, or do they have to win seven in a row?
I think they don't necessarily have to because they're leading their division right now.
Yeah.
Even though they don't have a great record, you know, that division is just such a mess. You know, the Redskins and Eagles are kind of average teams. The Giants are horrendous. So, you know, the Cowboys could trip up and still win the division, and I don't think we're going to see a wild card out of the NFC East.
Yeah, it's going to be – it is a messy division. Cowboys out of, you know, came out of nowhere. Amari Cooper coming in, changing the whole pace of the division and the team. But the NFL's got – I mean, it's a little bit more exciting. It feels like, you know, there's a lot of good teams and a lot of top-heavy teams coming in, hopefully, to the playoffs. Jeff, how can people reach you if they disagree with you on Broncos not winning 7 games in a row?
So the best way to follow along is at JT Falver on Twitter, and I will certainly accept that I have some bad takes. So if the Broncos do win and they want to pile on, that's okay.
I mean, I think they could win 6, but I mean, I don't think they can beat the Chargers. Well, no, hold on. They're playing in Denver. I don't know. It's we'll see if they can.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. Well, anyways, please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, leave a rating and a review. Jeff, thanks you. I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a good one. Yeah.